once again for Melody Ranch and Gene Autry.
I'm back in the saddle again, out where a friend is a friend, where the longhorn cattle feed on the lowly Jimson weed. I'm back in the saddle again.
That's right, folks. It's another visit with all the gang here at Melody Ranch. There's Pat Buttram, the Cass County Boys, the Gene Autry Blue Jeans, Carl Kottner's Melody Ranch Hardway 6 featuring Alvino Ray, and yours truly, Charlie Lyon. Right now, though, meet the boss man himself, America's favorite cowboy, Gene Autry.
The stars at night are big and bright, deep in the heart of Texas. The prairie sky is wide and high, deep in the heart of Texas. The sage in bloom is like perfume, deep in the heart of Texas. Reminds me of the one I love, deep in the heart of Texas. The coyotes wail along the trail, deep in the heart of Texas. The cowboys cry, ki-yip-yip-yip-yi, deep in the heart of Texas. The cactus plants are tough on pine, deep in the heart of Texas. That's why perhaps they all wear shouts, deep in the heart of Texas. Deep in the heart of Texas. Deep in the heart of Texas.
Well, howdy there, friends and neighbors, and welcome once again to Melody Ranch.
And now, thanks to the magic of music, we'd like to take you all to a certain spot not too far south of the border, where I am told the heavens at night are so close you could almost reach out and touch your own private star.
We met by a stream one night in Mexico. The moment stood still under fiesta stars. I learned how to dream that night in Mexico. My heart felt a thrill under fiesta stars. The night spoke of splendor, the lanterns were low. I had to surrender, the thrill seemed to grow. The music was playing, we danced until dawn. My thoughts began straying, and then she was gone. Tonight there's a stream somewhere in Mexico, where lanterns that glow blend with a soft guitar. I wish I could dream again of Mexico and still feel the thrill under fiesta stars. There's a stream somewhere in Mexico, where lanterns that glow blend with a soft guitar. I wish I could dream again of Mexico and still feel the thrill under the
Thank you, neighbors. Many, many thanks. Oh, hello there, Patrick.
Well,
you don't seem to be in a holiday mood today. What's the matter?
Nothing has went right for me today. It all began this morning. I thought I'd been kidnapped.
Oh? What made you think that you'd been kidnapped?
Well, when I got up, I looked in the bed. I wasn't there. But you know, Mr. Artery, when I went to trim my beard this morning, I felt better.
Oh, you felt better, huh?
Yeah, I looked in the mirror, and there I was. There was old me.
Yes?
Boy, I was glad as me, too, because if anything I hate, it's to trim the beard of a perfect stranger.
Patrick, how can you be so stupid?
Well, I'll tell you, it ain't easy when you ain't got no brains.
I agree with you.
Yeah. You know, as soon as I was up and around this morning, though, I was feeling low.
Feeling low?
Yeah.
How come?
Well, I had to milk 50 cows, and that's enough to make any man feel low. You know, it even made me late for the big picnic over at Spider Lake. I was dressed up as Uncle Sam, representing the United States.
Oh, boy. I can't picture you as Uncle Sam, though. How'd you look?
Well, the suit was too tight. Every time I sat down, I split the solid south. You know, I got to the picnic so late that I missed the auction for the girls' lunch baskets today.
Well, did you get a girl or a lunch basket?
Well, I got the leftovers. I got 2-ton Tessie from the Bar Express.
That's the girl. What about the lunch?
Stale salami and condemned bananas. Oh, this girl, she's really big, Mr. Artery. She's big. She walked over to the hitching rail wearing a riding outfit. 17 horses fainted.
You know, you sound like you were real unhappy with the picnic date.
Well, I was. I went Dutch treat with her on some ice cream cones, and I found out she kept her money in her hair.
What's wrong with that?
She kept her hair in her pocketbook.
Didn't you have any fun, Pat? Didn't you play any games at the picnic?
Sure, we did play games, yes, sir. I got the booby prize in the 100-yard dash for men.
You got the booby prize?
Yep. I run a 100-yard dash in exactly 22 minutes.
22 minutes?
Yep.
Well, how come it took so long?
My suspenders got caught in the judge's foot, and it kept pulling me back to the starting line. So long, Mr. Artery.
Well, so long, Patrick. Oh, brother. That Butcherman of Picnic is sort of like this next song by the Cass County Boys. Just a hit and run affair.
I really thought I knew it all concerning sweet romance. Cause when it came to pretty girls, I'd always take a chance. I felt that I could handle love with just a little luck. And all at once you hit me like a dent on diesel truck. Hit and run, hit and run, you left me crying there. Wasted love, a victim of a hit and run affair. Had your fun, now you're done, a bleeding heart is bare. Couldn't see that it would be a hit and run affair. I was helpless as can be. You told me pretty stories and you said you'd never stray. You picked me up and knocked me down and then you ran away. Hit and run, you hit me and ran away. You left me there a-crying. You signaled to the left and turned to the right. I should have known that you were lying. Had your fun and now you're done. You left me broken-hearted there. Couldn't see that it would be a hit and run
affair. Well, Cass County boys, we all had a picnic listening to that song. The blues don't mean a thing in my young life. Somewhere, somehow, I lose them.
The gals don't mean a thing in my young life. Somewhere, somehow, I lose it all. Never a care, never a tear, never a heartache that I can't bear. So, sweetheart, please don't try to make me blue. 'Cause I can't love you like you want me to. My dreams don't mean a thing in my young life. Somewhere, somehow, I lose them. My schemes don't mean a thing in my young life. Somewhere, somehow, I lose them. Never a care, never a tear, never a heartache that I can't bear. So, sweetheart, please don't try to make me blue. 'Cause I can't love you like you want me to.
Thank you, friends and neighbors. Many, many thanks. And now for this week's story. It starts back when I was a freelance cowpoke and Melody Ranch was just a dream. I'd just checked into a small hotel, one of the first to be built in Hidden Valley.
That'll be $2, cowboy.
Okay.
In advance.
Here you are.
Thanks.
By the way, you know anybody around here who's looking for a good ranch hand?
Well, you might check with Red Meadows.
Who's Red Meadows?
It's easy to tell you're a stranger in the Hidden Valley territory. Red Meadows happens to own practically everything in this town, including this hotel.
You don't say. Where do I find Mr. Meadows?
I try the Sagebrush State Bank, which, incidentally, he also owns.
When I entered the bank, I walked over toward a sign marked manager. Two men were seated across the desk from each other, and one of them, a man about 50, I'd say, didn't look too happy.
I can pay off that loan if you just give me another 30 days, Nolan. That's all I ask. 30 days.
Yes, I'm sorry, Mullins, but a week is the best I can do.
The best Red Meadows can do, you mean? Maybe Red Meadows can ruin me, but he'll know he's been through a battle before he does it.
Now, stranger, something I can do for you?
No, sir, I guess not. I just changed my mind.
Well, young fella, what can I do for you?
My name's Gene Autry, Mr. Mullins. I'm looking for a punching job.
That's so. Cattle or people?
Well, sometimes I'm not particular. Depending on which needs punching most.
Good. You look honest, Gene, so I'll tell you what I'll do. I can't pay you much right now, but if you're willing to string along a while, I'll promise to do better by you later on.
That's good enough for me. Can I start right away?
As soon as you answer one more question for me. Do you know Red Meadows?
No, I haven't had the pleasure of meeting him yet. If it is a pleasure.
It ain't.
Mr. Mullins turned out to be a fine man. He soon told me all about his troubles with Red Meadows, and I hoped I could help him out of his jam. I didn't have to wait long to try, because late the next afternoon, Steve Nolan from the bank, Red Meadows' number one skin flip, drove up.
Oh, boy.
Good afternoon, Mr. Mullins.
Hello, Nolan. What's on your mind besides trying to cheat me out of my ranch?
Now. I just wanted to talk to you about your note at the bank, that's all.
I thought we had an understanding about that.
Yes, well, since I talked to you yesterday, the picture has changed a little.
And now Meadows is demanding immediate payment, is that it?
Well, let us just say that the stockholders have overruled my decision, and the bank must have the money by Saturday, or we'll have to take suitable action.
So it's like that, huh? All right, go back and tell Red Meadows you carried out his orders. And since this place is still mine till Saturday, you can't get off my property too fast.
Look, Mr. Mullins, your bank loan is $10,000. How about the cattle you've already planned to market? Won't they bring in that much?
Just about, Gene, but... Well, they're not quite ready for market. I need another 30 days.
Who do you sell to?
I've been selling to Lawford and Company.
Wonderful. I know Gabe Lawford. Used to work for him as a buyer.
Well, that won't get me $10,000 by Saturday.
Maybe it will. I'm going to make a buyer's appraisal of your herd right away. Come on, let's saddle up. Well, Mr. Mullins liked my plan, even if he didn't think it would work. The railroad had just built a new loading pen over at Rim Rock, and the buyers usually came down once a week to buy their cattle for the beef market. Early next morning, I saddled up Champion, and we headed for Sagebrush. I talked to Gabe Lawford the long distance to make sure he'd be coming into Rim Rock on his weekly trip. Well, he planned to be there Friday, the day before the bank was planning to foreclose on Mr. Mullins' spread. I was waiting for the train Friday and grabbed Mr. Lawford as soon as he got off.
Gene, even though I trust you with my last dime, business just ain't done that way.
Forget about business for a second, Gabe, and listen to me. I've bought thousands of head of cattle for you. Did you ever lose a nickel on my judgment?
No, but confound it, Gene, that's not the point. You're asking me to give you $10,000 in cash for cattle to be delivered 30 days from now.
If there's any loss on this deal, Gabe, I'll go back to work for you for nothing till I've made it up.
If this means that much to you, Gene, guess I'll do it. Hey, Joe, take over, will you? I'm going down to the bank.
Champ and I headed back for the Lazy M with $10,000 in cash traveling with us. Mr. Mullins couldn't wait for the bank manager to show up the next morning. And he didn't have to wait either.
Well, well, if it isn't Mr. Nolan. We've been expecting you. Do come in.
Thank you.
I think you met Gene Autry the other day.
Look, Mullins, I hate doing things like this, but...
I understand. You're only following orders.
Correct. In fact, right now, you might say I'm just making an official call, according to law, to request payment. And, of course, you not being able to, shall we say, comply, I will have to return to town and have the sheriff perform the unpleasant duty of evicting you.
I see. Well, Nolan, since this whole thing's gonna cause so many people so many heartaches... maybe I ought to relieve you of any unnecessary suffering. All right, Gene, give him his money.
It'll be a pleasure.
There you are, Mr. Nolan. $10,000 in cash.
And before your hand starts shaking too much, you better mark my note paid in full.
Well, Mr. Mullins was feeling mighty fine about 2 hours later when there was another knock on the front door. And this time, our caller wasn't expected.
Well, well, howdy, Sheriff. I guess you haven't seen Nolan, or he'd have saved you the trouble of coming out here. He's already got his money.
I saw Nolan all right, Mullins, but he didn't say anything.
In that case, what are you doing out here?
Nolan's dead, Mullins, and I'm putting you under arrest for his murder.
Of course, I'd known where Mr. Mullins was every minute since Steve Nolan left the Lazy M Ranch. But nobody paid much attention to me. The sheriff was in cahoots with Red Meadows, and he had a hand-picked jury. Meadows was the coroner. The sheriff even produced a witness to the murder at the coroner's hearing.
Now, Mr. Adams, just tell us exactly what you saw.
Well, Sheriff, it was like this. I happened to be coming down the road from Dark Canyon Pass, and as I got to where the road forks with the Lazy M Road, two fellas were riding like crazy. I thought it was Mullins here chasing Steve Nolan. Mullins pulled his gun and fired, and Nolan fell off his horse. Mullins pulled up fast and headed back toward his own place. I saw there was nothing I could do for poor Nolan, so I hurried to your office to tell you what I'd seen as quick as I could.
Adams had his story down pat, and Coroner Red Meadows sounded pretty convincing when he told the jury that murders have been committed for a lot less than $10,000. The coroner's jury was only out 15 minutes.
Quiet, please, quiet. Gentlemen of the jury, have you reached a verdict as to the cause of death?
We have. We find that Steve Nolan died at the hand of Charles Mullins, and we recommend that Mullins be charged with murder in the first degree.
Red Meadows seemed mighty pleased with the verdict. Instead of going back to the bank, he got on his horse and headed out into the country. I thought he might be going to the Lazy M. Wherever he was heading, I wanted to know about it. So I untied Champ from the hitching rail and followed him, being careful to keep him from seeing us. That wasn't as hard as it might have been, because he headed up an old abandoned road with only one outlet and stopped at a weather-beaten hunting shack.
It's me. Open up.
Eh? Well, how'd it go?
Just like I knew it would. They charged the old coot with first-degree murder. Your murder, Nolan. I'll get the Lazy M Ranch yet.
Yes, unless that nosy cowhand of Mullins finds out I wasn't killed. I ought to get out of here. The sooner the better. You bring me a horse?
Not yet.
Why, what about my half of the money? The $5,000 you promised me?
Why, Steve, you're dead. A jury said so. You died at the hand of Charlie Mullins.
Oh, wait, you wouldn't murder me, Red. Now put the gun back.
Oh, we gotta have a corpse before the trial, Steve. We could get away with a closed coffin for the coroner's hearing, me being the coroner. But when it comes to the real trial, we'll have to produce a body.
You've gotten away with a lot, Red, but you can't get away with murder.
Why, how could they accuse me of killing you? After you're really dead, I'll discover that you stole most of the depositor's money out of the bank. I'll clean it out.
Well, if you're going to shoot me, go ahead and get it over with.
Anything
go on.
Thing you say, Nolan.
Don't reach for that gun, Meadows. I'll shoot it out of your hand again.
Only this time my aim might not be so good.
Smarter than I thought you were, cowboy. All right. How much do you want?
You're not buying your way out of this, Meadows. You're signing a full confession, implicating the sheriff and that phony witness, Adams, you called him.
Yeah, you might as well, Red, because whether you do or not, I'll spill everything I know about you, which is a plenty.
Looks like you made a bad mistake, Meadows. You know, a fellow with as few friends as you have should try to keep them, not kill them. Well, that's the story. And you'll be glad to know that the good citizens of Sagebrush have never let characters like Red Meadows and his stooge, the sheriff, get control of things in the town again. Well, right now it's time to introduce this week's Cowboy Classic, a song that, in our opinion, represents the best in Western music. Such a song, we feel, is this beautiful tune the boys and girls are about to join me in singing now. Just a melancholy echo lingers when the day is through. It's the call of the canyon. Once again, I'm dreaming of you. Every night I search the moonlight up and down the river shore. It's the call of the canyon. Maybe I will find you once more.
standing there alone by the ashes of the fire we said would never die. Will I ever find an ember burning from the days gone by? Then I hear a lonely whisper as the little spark I see. It's the call of the canyon, bringing back your answer to me.
Standing there alone by the ashes.
Favorite pieces of Americana. In fact, when it comes to describing this particular period of our country's musical history, I don't see how it can be done without including Skeeters, I'm a humming on the honeysuckle vine. Sweet Kentucky, babe. Sandman, I'm a coming to this little babe of mine. Sweet Kentucky, babe. Silvery moon, I'm shining in the heavens up above. Bobolink, I'm pining for his little lady love. You is mighty lucky, babe of old Kentucky. Close your eyes and sleep. Fly away. Fly away, Kentucky babe. Fly away to rest.
Fly away.
Lay your little woolly head upon your mammy's breast.
Gene Autry and all the gang from Melody Ranch will be heard over these same stations. This is Charlie Lyon inviting you to be tuned our way.